Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I am yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, made in America, pure Michigan, broadcasting in the middle of the mitten from the mothership of Black Diamond Broadcasting, and happy to be part of the tremendous group of stations that Mike and Norm have put together, which include, folks, by the way, not only 98.5 WUPS, but also, starting a week from today, the Todd L. Levitt Law Show from 9 to 10 a.m. will also be heard on Rock 105. That's right. We just rock. I am so stoked to be joining another Black Diamond Broadcasting station up in Traverse City, 100,000 watts strong, going over the bridge. That's right, folks. Rock 105 and 98.5, the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, together with all the other amazing stations that the Black Diamond Broadcasting Group owns, such as the Classic Rock Bear, which is 98.1 and 97.7. Don't forget about Easy WQEZ-FM, 95.5, 106.3, and the big country hits of 102.9, together with Big Country Gold, which is also on 100.7 FM and 1240 AM. And don't forget my good friend and yours, Nikki from the Swap Shop, on 92.1 The Twister. So there's a group of stations that Black Diamond Broadcasting owns, and I'm stoked to be on 98.5 UPS every Sunday morning. And starting a week from today, I'll be blaring out another 100,000 watts strong right here in Todd's Levitt Rock Block on Rock 105. That's right, Rock 105. But I'm a law show. I am not a rock show. But if given the opportunity by the owners, I would sit here 24 hours, 7 days a week. I would turn it. I would burn it. I would churn it. And I would sit in a green field somewhere in the middle of the mitten and just blare out some hardcore rock. But you know what? I don't have to. All I have to do is tune into all those stations, including 105 out of Traverse City, Rock 105. I love Rock 105. I'm so happy to be broadcasting next week on Rock 105. Smitty's over there and Cartman. They do a great job. Everybody at 105 does a great job. And I just love everybody in the Black Diamond Broadcasting Company, Mike and Norm. Next time I see them, I'm giving them a big bear hug. I'm wound up today. Corrine Williamson is in studio. She's also with the company, and she refuses to come on the mic, but that's okay. She brought me, you ready for this, folks? As if I need this, she brought me pure espresso. It's not as if I need any more energy, because I wake up like this. I go to bed like this. I wake up like this. I'm like this 24 hours a day. Corrine brought me espresso. Corrine, you're sitting over there cracking up. You will not go on the mic. But thanks for the espresso, as if the listeners needed it. But what a huge show we have for the listeners today. Just a ton of information to get to. We're going to talk about some of these cannabis companies that are now attracting large investors across the country. We're talking about some serious capital venture companies out there and what you can do to attract investors for your company. We're going to talk a little bit about what you can do. And it's such a simple formula, how to attract investors, not only for a cannabis business, but any business. So we're going to talk about that. I also have an update on what has taken place throughout the state of Michigan in regards to local townships and their willingness to opt in or out of the Michigan Facilities Licensing Act. I got some awesome stories from across the country, including Texas and the state of California, right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. But before we begin, I have a complaint. Corrine, I have a complaint. She says, okay. She wants to hear my complaint. This is, and everybody out there, you know this person. And I mean, you know this person, okay? I'm at a restaurant eating last week. We've all been out to eat. And sitting right behind me is a family, because when we walked in this restaurant to sit down, they were already eating. It looked like they were in the middle of their meal because I saw a steak, I saw a burger. You know, things were a mess. So I knew they were already there. So we sit down. And then as soon as we sit down, the waitress comes up, and right behind our table, Kareen, right behind our table, somebody lets out a sneeze that was so loud. It was so loud, it literally amplified all across. I'm not even being funny. This was ridiculous. It amplified across the entire restaurant. Now, if you know anything about me, Todd L. Levitt, one, I don't want to be around germs. So I don't know if this person, because they were so close, this sneeze was so obnoxious and so loud. I mean, it wasn't like a achoo. It wasn't like a little achoo. It wasn't like a little mouse. It was a roar with like a megaphone. I immediately said to the waitress, "You need to move us. You need to move us." I was also curious to see where this obstruction was coming from. I mean, I'm curious who, because we all know someone that sneezes like that.
Oh, yes, was there spray?
Yeah, I mean, the spray, you know, if someone's going to sneeze like that and they know they're going to sneeze like that, one, they should like get up and hurry out of the area where there's people. And two, try to control that. There's something, you can control that. I'm sorry. Okay, so we get up, they move us. I look at the table, and it was this little 5 foot woman. I thought it was like a big, you know, 300 pound man who was sneezing. It was this little 5 foot woman, because she did it again as we were leaving. And, you know, if somebody has, you know, a heart issue or some kind of other illness, that's and that person reacts to a loud, extreme noise that comes out of nowhere, this person sneezing could have caused someone to have a serious, you know, issue there at the table. Could have had an attack of some sort. So whoever that lady was, and I have no idea who you were, you need to get that under control. I mean, achoo! That's a sneeze. Cover your mouth. This thing was a roar. Like, okay, I'm not a fan, but Katy Perry, Hear Me Roar or something like that. We're a rock station. I'm just saying that is this lady's theme, and I'm not happy about that. So that upset me last week. Other than that, it's been a beautiful week. We've had great weather, and there's a lot to look forward to here in the state of Michigan and across the entire United States of America. We have a lot of information to get to right after the break, so we're going to go to break here in a few minutes. Right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting from the mothership of Black Diamond Broadcasting, joining 105.1 a week from today, same time, 9 to 10 a.m., the same time as 98.5 UPS. I'm not leaving. I'll be right back after this break and a word from our sponsors. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, turning it and burning it and churning it right here, broadcasting 100,000 watts strong, soon to be 200,000 watts strong next Sunday as I join 105.1. And if you miss any portion of the show, you can catch it, as I say it all the time, on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Podbean. Kareen Williamson from the station, and just an amazing woman. She brought me some espresso, and I'm just jumping off the walls right now. Jumping off the walls. But she's still here in studio. She will not come on the radio. That's okay. Look, I want to talk about what's taking place throughout the Mitten right now. Mitten is Michigan, obviously. For those listening on the podcast, we are, if you look at the state of Michigan on the map, in the United States, we are a hand, which is amazing. For Florida, you can just put your thumb upside down. It looks like Florida. But this past week, I received two or three phone calls from members of board members from various townships across the state. One from the Upper Peninsula, two from below the bridge where us trolls reside. And the good news, folks, is these commissioners were contacting me regarding information to educate them and their fellow board members on the positive effects of allowing a facilities license at the end of this year. One, their big concern is security. If we allow a provisioning center and a grow operation, what type of security is going to be required through the state? Now, I can tell you this, because I've been in touch with people who are in touch with people from LARA. The board, the medical marijuana, the board members of the Facilities Licensing Act and the testing and the transportation, they have yet to release the regulations. In regards to security, folks, if you or someone you know lives in a community and there happens to be a farmer that will have a license to set up a big grow operation, I'm going to go on a limb and say that that individual, and more than likely required by the state, and folks, your townships, if you're listening, you can also require certain levels of security within your ordinances of the community you live in. But I'm saying that everyone I've spoken to will have some serious security to keep the citizens safe, knowing that it's not going to attract, you know, crime and riffraff and whatnot. That's the negative that's associated with the industry that I think is wrong. So my recommendation to these township supervisors is this, and this is positive that they're calling me, is that one, you can put in place ordinances that specifically talk about levels of security. Two, folks, if you're seeking a license in a township, I recommend, and I said this at my past seminar, approach deputy sheriffs and law enforcement who work within the county that you're looking to put your business in and see if you could hire them when they're off duty to provide security. Bring the money and the business to the community and keep it there. This is what I recommended to the township supervisors, because each supervisor said, Todd, we want to know about security. We need to educate our citizens. Well, look, it's not like all these businesses are going to have these huge signs up that say a friend with weed is a friend indeed. I mean, absolutely the opposite. These are men and women whose families that I've been talking to have been farmers for generations. It's not like that. In fact, in most cases, there's a good chance that people will have no clue what's even taken place on the acreage if it's done properly. I mean, others will. So security, I recommend you seek to hire local deputies and law enforcement, because I support all the men and women in law enforcement, and why not allow them to profit from what's taking place in Michigan? Okay, and that's the first thing I talk about, is the security. The second thing is, what is it going to cost to the township, Todd? Are we going to have to put out any money to, you know, assist these businesses in their startups? I can't answer that. But contrary, mon frere, I didn't actually say that to the supervisors, you will be able to tap into a state fund and charge up to $5,000 per licensing fee. So if you approach a township, make sure that you address the issue of security and the concerns of the township to have to put out money that more than likely they do not have. So the good news is that supervisors around the state and township boards are starting to loosen up. There's a magazine, a publication that goes around called the Township Municipal Association magazine. So all these townships have a municipal association. And the recent edition has a lot of information in there for the township board members and trustees as to what the positive and maybe negative effects are on the cannabis industry. I haven't seen it, so I can't say for sure what it says, but I've been told from some of these supervisors. So that's a good news, folks, in regards to the state of Michigan. You know, I didn't feel this way 2 months ago, but word's getting out there. There's a lot of men and women who are just good people who are seeking to be entrepreneurial and have a stake in what's about to hit Michigan. So it's a good thing. But here's the deal, folks. Here's the deal. And this is what most people don't realize. The state of Michigan, and this applies to every state, I feel that, and I talked to a lot of attorney friends of mine from Metro Detroit, I'm in touch with Mike Camorn all the time, Bart Morris, Matt Abel. These are some of my closest friends. If you don't know Matt Abel, look up Matt. If you don't know Mike Camorn, look up Mike. If you don't know Bart Morris, he's the owner of Cannabis Legal Group, my former law partner. I'm on a continuous thread of information from these attorneys, and there's so many people who are seeking licenses to cultivate. Here's the problem. There's only so many cardholders out there. There's only so many medical marijuana cardholders, and the state of Michigan is going to control how much a cardholder can spend on any given day at any given dispensary, aka provisioning center. So you're going to have all these people wanting to grow, but not enough brick and mortars to support the grow. I mean, this is business 101. Not only are there not going to be enough dispensaries to support the grow, I feel, but there's only so many card holders. So my feeling is, and this is just how I feel today, is those businesses out there at any level of this industry that can survive the next 2 to 3 years before Michigan recreationalizes cannabis will be the ones who will succeed. So just because you get a Class C license to cultivate 1,500 plants, you don't have to start off with 1,500. You can start off with 300. You can start off with 200. But you better connect yourself, growers, to a dispensary. Now, look, I'm just talking about the law here. I'm not telling anybody to do anything outside of the law. I'm just trying to provide information to the citizens and listeners, not only of the great state of Michigan, but all across the country, right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Born in the USA, pure Michigan, turning it and burning it with a little bit of extra espresso that Kareen brought to me this morning. But that's what I see as the problem. There's only so many people who have a legal right to possess a card. And by the way, if you're currently a caregiver, you are not going to be allowed to sell to the provisioning centers, aka dispensaries. The provisioning centers can only purchase from a state licensed facility. So there's some more information for you folks. But the good news is, Kareen, that township supervisors, they've been contacting my office. They've been contacting all those attorney friends of mine downstate. And if you're looking for somebody to assist you in obtaining a license, I recommend, again, attorney Matt Abel. Can't go wrong with my buddy Matt. We grew up together, went to Central together, close friend, practiced law in the same area for 12 years. My buddy Mike Camorn. Check out Camorn Law Firm, K-O-M-O-R-N, online. He has done a lot for the industry. He also represents people who are seeking licenses. And Bart Morris Jr., another great attorney seeking licensing out there. So I'm happy to provide the information. As far as licensing, contact one of those attorneys. The show is not here to solicit for business. So that's a lot of information. By the way, huge shout out to Up North Growers Supply. Up North Growers Supply. Great people, great customer service, great products right there to the north, Up North Growers Supply. And of course, Dustin Battle. Big shout out to a good friend of our show, Dustin Battle. Not only is he an outstanding individual and a hardworking man, but he also owns Innovative Insulation Systems. So if you're looking, and the weather's about to go, it's about to get cold again, folks. It's about to get cold. In fact, it's colder today. Contact Innovative Insulation Systems. Dustin Battle, we appreciate all your support here on the show. And Clark Holmes in Mount Pleasant on M20. They do a great job. I'm always promoting Clark Holmes. We appreciate their sponsorship. My good friend Emerson and his dad Sean up at Harrison Power Sports up in Harrison. No place better to purchase sleds, boats, side-by-sides. And they also do a lot of mechanical work. Some of the best mechanics in the business, best wrenchers. I don't know if you call them wrenchers. So check out Harrison Power Sports. Chad Malley, Well Drilling. Love you, Chad. Chad's a good friend. We've known each other a long time. Big shout out. Thank you for sponsoring the show. And of course, Dr. Robert Townsend at Denali Healthcare. Dr. Bob's a great guy, and he runs a great business over there at Denali Healthcare. So there's a big shout out to all the sponsors of the show. We have to go to break, but when we come back from break, folks, I'm not kidding here. We have a lot of information to get to right here on Todd's Rock Block, otherwise known as the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. We'll be right back. Make sure you tip the wait staff. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting on Black Diamond Broadcasting's mothership right here in the middle of the mitten. Folks, a week from today, we're also going to be broadcasting on one of the stations of Black Diamond, Rock 105. Oh, that is just crazy. Rock 105 goes all the way across the bridge, all the way south to Houghton Lake, another 100,000 watts strong. And Rock 105 is just 105.1 out of Grand Traverse, Petoskey, Gaylord, or 103.7 out of Alpena. So I'm pretty stoked about that, Kareen. Kareen's still in studio. And make sure you tune into all of the Black Diamond broadcast stations, Classic Rock Beer, Easy WQEZ, Big Country, Big Country Gold, and of course, my good friend Nikki over at 92.1 The Twister. Big shout out and love to Nikki and Tammy. You got to give a shout out to Tammy and Craig over there, you know, everybody at 98.5. Nikki does a swap shop all the time. Love Nikki. But I'm always tuned into 98.5 and all the other stations. I download all the apps and whatnot. But here is an update. The state of Michigan, a minor in possession. This is really important for you parents out there, by the way, who have young adults who are going to college or who are just young, under the age of 21. If you're this year, and I have to look up when it takes effect, it may already have taken effect, but I haven't heard it, so I have to look it up. A minor in possession, a first offense, which carries no jail time, is typically a misdemeanor and goes on your driving record. In the state of Michigan, we have a program called a deferral program. A lot of prosecutors and city attorneys call it a diversion. So, but an MIP, minor possession, consumption of alcohol, carrying, you know, alcohol, consuming alcohol, is a misdemeanor. It is becoming a civil infraction. Now, here's the problem. Did you hear what I just said? There's a, Kareen, you got something on your chin now. I don't know. Did you just take a sip out of a candle? I'm sorry, folks. I'm completely distracted. Kareen Williamson, who's with the station here, you know, she picked up a glass that I think is a candle. There's really little left in there. And I think she went to drink it. And then something from the candle is now on her chin. Completely a distraction here. I'm trying to talk about minor possessions. I'm already jumping off the walls with the, you know, the espresso you brought me this morning. I'm trying to, that's a candle. That is not a glass of water. I'm not kidding. That's the funniest thing I've ever seen. I wish I could show the listeners this glass candle. It's already burnt down to the bottom, and she took a sip of it. It's not pink lemonade.
I'm glad you can't.
That is a candle, and don't be sneezing like, and going, chew. I want a cute little sneeze from you over there if you have to sneeze. But look, folks, here's the problem with taking a misdemeanor, which could go on your criminal history and your driving record, and making it a civil infraction. The problem is the deferral program and diversion program will no longer be available to you. So if your son or daughter or loved one or someone you know visits a university or is having a high school party, one, they should not be drinking if they're under 21. We all know what goes on out there. So in the case, an officer writes a ticket for minor in possession and it's a misdemeanor, then you could take a bite of that deferral apple, and that MIP doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't go on your driving record, and it doesn't appear on your criminal history. The problem with the civil infraction is now, okay, I'm going to get an MIP. It's going to be a civil infraction. It's really easy. All I have to do is pay the ticket. It's going to go right on your driving record. I would rather still have an opportunity to have an MIP deferral as opposed to an MIP being a civil infraction. But what they're trying to do is, there's so many MIPs, folks, given out there all over the state and all over the country that is clogging up the court system. And so in an effort to still raise revenue, they're going to become civil infractions. But the problem is, for you parents out there paying insurance, it's going to go on your child's driving record. Whereas with a deferral, as the law has been, it would not appear. Now, I believe, and I have to look this up, but I believe a second MIP at that time, if you already received the civil infraction, will then become the misdemeanor. So there's good things and bad things, but I would rather be able to get somebody a deferral to keep it off their record. In the state of Michigan, we have deferrals for different programs. For instance, if you get caught with possession of a certain illegal substance, you could take a bite out of the 7411 apple, 333.7411. Same thing as an MIP deferral, but it only applies to possessory cases. There's also something called HYTA. If you've ever been in trouble, you're now between the ages 17 and 24. You could take a bite of HYTA. HYTA is a catch-all law. So whereas a deferral was only applicable to minor possession of alcohol or consumption, and 7411 only kept possessory charges off your criminal history and your driving record, HYTA, H-Y-T-A, is a catch-all, and it applies to all different types of cases. It used to be you could only be between the ages 17 and 21. The governor, good job, Governor Snyder, raised it to 24, but from 21 to 24, the prosecutor has to agree that your client can obtain HYTA, whereas under 21, it's the judge's discretion to grant you HYTA or not. And in some courts, you have to file a HYTA petition. In other courts, you're just requesting it on the record. So there's some interesting deferrals, but it goes back to the MIP changes. It's going to be a civil infraction. It's going right on your driving record. And folks, I can tell you from being an attorney in a college town, and I've represented students from Michigan State, University of Michigan, Northwood, Saginaw, Big Rapids, Ferris, go Bulldogs, fire up Chips, go Blue, go Green, Sparty, all that good stuff. MIPs are giving out like candy. So you know who's going to benefit from this? The insurance companies. Again, no offense against all my friends out there in the insurance business, but you guys have a grip on the citizens of Michigan in the sense that you can never remove anything from your driving record. You can get a misdemeanor. You can commit a retail fraud, and you can keep that off your record. If you get a speeding ticket or an operating while intoxicated, you can never remove that from your driving record. How is it you can commit retail fraud or larceny and you can expunge it or have a deferral statute, but if you get operating while intoxicated, it's going to be stuck on your driving record for your entire life, by the way, folks. People ask me all the time, in 5-10 years, will this drinking and driving offense drop off my criminal history, my driving record? No. And you cannot even expunge it. And I'm thinking the insurance, and I'm sorry, folks, the insurance industry, you know, they don't want your driving record clean. Think about it. Why would they? So the way the laws are set up right now, they're so intertwined that it would be extremely difficult for the men and women in Lansing to, you know, start in committee and then have certain house bills introduced to finally have the governor sign an act that allows you to remove something from your driving record. I've said it before. I think if you're a first-time offender, you know, high BAC, operating while intoxicated, impaired, under 21 with a high BAC, you should be able, after 5 years, to remove that if you have nothing else on your record, just as the normal expungement law does for everything else. So you can have a serious felony, not all felonies, and after 5 years from the end of your probation, you could ask a judge to set aside the conviction. But again, if something's on your driving record, even open and tax in a motor vehicle, you can never have that removed from your driving record. It's such hypocrisy. It's so backwards. Everything in this state attaches to your driving privileges. If you get a drug crime and you don't get a deferral statute, it goes on your driving record. Too many points, you lose your license. It's just absurd. Finally, the driver responsibility fee, which is this obnoxious fee that's been around since 2003. In 2018, it exists no more. But the problem is, it's not retroactive, Crean. It's not just men and women out there who owe thousands and thousands of dollars to the state of Michigan for this obnoxious fee that was completely unnecessary, and they can't get out from underneath it. So it should have been retroactive. It should have been retroactive. But folks, in 2018, this fee does no longer apply. That fee applied if you were convicted of certain drinking and driving offenses. It was either $500 a year for 2 years or $1,000 a year for 2 years. No proof of insurance caused a fee to exist. Driving on suspended or revoked license. Every time you got points over 7 points, you got hit with more fees. So I cannot begin to tell you how many men and women contact my office to reinstate their driving privileges, and they can't do so because they owe this fee. It's unbelievable. So I'm here to advocate on behalf of the people. And I'm also here to advocate that we need to find men and women who will run for office that will agree that once they're in office, they will introduce legislation to remove, you know, operating under the influence of alcohol from your driving abstract. Because folks, if you have a conviction for drinking and driving on your driving record and criminal history, and or other type of crimes, you cannot get into Canada. Canada, it makes it very difficult for you to enter the country. Now, you can get rehabilitated. You can ask for a TRP, temporary resident permit. You can approach a border guard and present your papers. You know, after a number of years, it's up to the border guard. But I suggest, you know, recommend you hire my buddy David Rosenblatt out of Toronto. There's a plug for my buddy David Rosenblatt. If any of you out there would like to get into Canada, but because of a criminal conviction, you're unable to, and you call my office, I'm going to refer you to my good buddy who is strictly an immigration lawyer out of Toronto, Canada, David Rosenblatt. And he will assist you, and you can get back to fishing, hunting, camping, drive from, you know, the States to British Columbia and back, go north, head up to Hudson Bay, whatever you want to do. So anyway, hey, I got a lot more to get to right here on the Todd Elevit Law Show. Kareen just took another sip of the candle. That is not water. It is not water. Am I right? You thought that was water, didn't you? Anyway, we got to go to break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. If you're just tuning in for the first time, what took you so long? I'm proud to say I think we have 100 listeners now. 75 are my Amish friends, and I appreciate all the Amish listening throughout Clare County, Pennsylvania, and all over this great country of ours. And we have some Mennonites. I actually have a lot of friends out there. They're really good people. And then, of course, my family, my cousins, and a few of you listeners. So I appreciate that. And starting a week from today, we're going to be on Rock 105. I'm so stoked. So we're going to be airing this show at this time on 98.5 and Black Diamond Broadcasting's other station, one of their mini stations, Rock 105. Love Smitty, love Cartman. I love Rock 105. Maybe they'll give me a rock show. So I get on the air and turn it and burn it and churn it and just go crazy, just jamming. You know how some radio shows back in the day, and they still do, they put you in a mood, so they play some soft music, and then as the hours are getting later towards midnight, it's starting to crank it up and crank it up and crank it up. I would just crank it and spank it from the time I come on the air. I would just start with some old-time Van Halen with David Lee Roth. I'd go into some Led Zeppelin, AC/DC. I'd go back to the Doors from the 60s, you know, and I might even go back to the 50s with some Elvis Presley. I'm talking, and maybe some Chuck Berry, but then I'm going right back to the 1980s where I grew up in the 80s with the hair bands. I love hair bands. We all do. Some Poison, some Motley Crue, all that stuff. Peter Gabriel. Cinderella Rat. But I would be playing music that you don't normally hear on the airwaves. But look, I don't have to have my own rock show, because all I have to do is tune into Rock 105, 98.5, The Bear, and all the other stations that are part of Black Diamond Broadcasting, and there's great music everywhere. All right, folks, during the first segment, I had mentioned that the state of the industry in Michigan, the cannabis industry, is, I feel, taking a turn for the positive, because I did have, as I mentioned, a number of supervisors who have been contacting me both above the bridge and below the bridge where us trolls live. And they actually felt very positive about, you know, issuing facility licenses to some of their citizens. So a lot of their big questions was based on security and how much will it cost the township. So I'm not going to repeat the first segment. You can go back to iTunes, Podbean, or SoundCloud and listen to it. But things are taking a turn for the better. And again, just to point out a fact, there's going to be too many growers out there, not enough provisioning centers, and there's only so many medical marijuana card holders who can visit these provisioning centers to support the grow industry. So I see a problem out there. I mean, do I have a fix? No, it's just what I see right now. So there has to be a good balance, because we already know county to county, and you can look it up on LARA, on the, you know, Michigan.gov website, how many cardholders exist in each county. So my advice to you folks is, if you are going into business in a particular county, in a township, in an area, go online, look to see how many cardholders exist within your community so you have an idea when you approach the township what you're talking about. I would also recommend you reach out to other businesses in other townships. Extend your network, because the only way you're going to survive, as with any business, is to network and get together. And if you're looking for great representation, obviously I'm a cannabis expert. I do a lot of consulting, but as far as obtaining licensing, call my good friend Mike Camorn, attorney Mike Camorn with Camorn Law down in Metro Detroit. My good friend Matt Abel, I grew up with Matt, and my former law partner Bart Morris Jr., Cannabis Legal Group. You can contact any of those attorneys online. Let them know I sent you, and they can all assist you with anything and everything to do with licensing. So I mentioned in the first segment at the beginning of the show, if you need investors, there's a lot of different ways to go about getting investors. One, you know, should you turn to family and friends? Well, that I'm not so sure. I would say a lot of people do those type of things. Like you hear stories, oh, I went to my father, he loaned me $20,000 and now I have a $1 billion corporation. You always hear about that. So I'm not going to tell you not to turn to family, but it's risky. Friends, ooh, it's tough. What you can do is this. First of all, you need to have a business plan. So you need to put a business plan together, and there's men and women now specializing in putting business plans together for certain industries. All you have to do is go online and look them up. So you put together a business plan, and you know, you have a vision, you have a brand, your brand has an identity. And if you have a name or an idea for something, first thing you should do is go to GoDaddy.com and see if somebody owns that name. GoDaddy.com or Google. If you have an idea for something or the name of a business, just Google it. If there's a name that is similar within the same industry that you seek to go into, my advice is you better find a different name. The last thing you want to do is spend tens of thousands of dollars on lawyers and accountants and branding till only later find out that you should have hired a trademark patent attorney, and now you got to rebrand everything and you're facing lawsuits. So be very careful. You can do your own research. Go to GoDaddy, go to Google. Also, the USTPO, United States Trademark Patent Office.com. You can do a search to see if anybody has registered a trademark or service mark with the name or industry that you seek to go into. I just gave you some huge advice. I'm not looking to take business away from attorneys, but you can go to the United States Trademark Patent Office. But I highly recommend, you know, if you do a search on the government website for trademarks and service marks, you should still hire a qualified attorney, because patent and trademark law is a very specialized area. Albeit I'm giving you some hints, you should still hire an attorney. It's worth the money to make sure things are done right, so you don't face litigation later on and now you're out of business. It's very costly to rebrand your idea. But how do you raise revenue? Well, there's a lot of different ways. You can go get a loan from the bank, but the problem is, in the industry that I talk about each week, that's not gonna happen. Credit unions, banks. So now you have to go non-traditional. Take the time to go on a search engine and search Colorado, search California, go on LinkedIn. There are a lot of companies that are now growing and are already in existence that are providing revenue for the cannabis industry. And they're out there. All, you know, if you go to Leafly.com, that's one of the most successful companies, Leafly.com, L-E-A-F-L-Y. That company in itself, I think it gets like 100 million views a month and has over 2 million subscribers to its website. I subscribe to Leafly.com. It's a great resource out there. But you just need to start making connections, and there's people out there who will invest. Now, if you form a corporation, and again, speak to a corporate attorney. I'm just giving you some ideas. If you form a Michigan corporation and there's two or three of you and you own, let's say, 100% of the corporation, well, if an investor comes in, he or she may say, okay, I'm going to put up this revenue. I'm going to take 51% of the corporation so I can control how things are done, and you can buy it back when you start to repay, you know, the money plus the interest, and then you'll buy back more interest in the business. So you can approach investors that way. You can, you know, there's all kinds of people out there who have all kinds of revenue that need to invest for tax write-offs. People who have large sums of money, you know, they have to invest because or else they're going to be taxed. So they're looking for shelters. Talk to an accountant. But more so, do what I've done. Just go online and look for people in the states in which business has already taken place. And you'll see all kinds of information out there. But I would highly recommend you talk to an accountant, you talk to a lawyer, you talk to a trademark patent attorney, get your ducks in order, because those men and women that will survive the years until things are recreational are the ones that will do it right. You have to do it right. And you don't want to cut corners. And so that's really key. So I'm just giving you some basic advice here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. I just got an email. We missed your seminar in Mount Pleasant. Are you planning any more seminars in the future? Yes. Where? Traverse City. When? Sometime March, April. Do you have a date? Not yet. What are you drinking this morning? Espresso. What's Kareen drinking? A candle. Anyhow, what a great show. Again, want to thank all our sponsors, Innovative Insulations, Good Friend Systems, Dustin Battle out there, Clark Holmes, Harrison Power Sports, Chad Malley, Well Drilling, Dr. Robert Townsend of Denali Healthcare, and of course, Black Diamond Broadcasting, Mike and Norm, and all the listeners out there. If you missed any portion of the show, check us out on all the platforms I mentioned all the time. Again, I'm just trying to provide you with information, education, which will empower you and put you in a position to succeed and be happy in life. Remember to be enthusiastic. Enthusiasm is contagious. Be nice to the wait staff. Smile. Ask somebody how they're doing today. You should wake up enthusiastic and try to maintain that throughout your day, because positive actions, as I said before, result in positive reactions. Get healthy. Stop smoking cigarettes. Stop boozing it up. Go for a walk, go for a bike ride, and always stay tuned to all the stations on Black Diamond Broadcasting, especially the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, each Sunday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. I'm not just a litigator. I got to go because I'm an advocator.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show is brought to you by Chad Malley Well Drilling in Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder in Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's newest full-line Arctic Cat dealer, Dr. Robert Townsend and Denali Healthcare for your alternative medicine needs, and Innovative Insulation Systems for those cold and hot days. Make sure your insulation pays.